Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at 646-716-4893, or you can email me if you don't want to be on the radio. We certainly understand that. And it's at bonk@aol.com. And let me just check if my very special guest is here tonight. Debbie, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you for having
me. Okay, before I announce you, Debbie Thomas Brown, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, I just wanted to make a couple of announcements, and then I'll introduce Debbie. I just want to make sure I had you on here. But this is a reminder to people that the time is passing quickly before we're getting to September for my September healing meeting here in Philadelphia, the home of me. So we have women who are coming from all over, not only the country, but also from Canada, from England, and from Australia. This is really going to be an international, you know, healing weekend. So the Healing Weekend is open to women who need a place to heal, a place to vent, a place to be heard and validated. And I know that whenever we have these Healing Weekends, whether it's here in Philadelphia or in March in Houston, women make new lasting friendships and bonds, and they're able to feel as if they're not alone anymore because they have people who really understand every feeling they're having. This weekend is my gift to my support group members of the Straight Wives Club, and so there's no cost for the actual weekend, but, you know, you have to pay your expenses as far as the trip. But we have a great hotel where you can get a great rate, and it's just so validating meeting others who understand what you are facing. So if you are interested, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. Also, if you're not on my newsletter list and you would like to receive it, feel free to write to me as well. You can go to my website at www.gayhusbandswithans.com and just click into newsletters and request them. Also, for women who are in the United Kingdom, we have our support chats on Monday evening, 8:30 UK time. And also, we have our support group for adult children of gay fathers that meets every Wednesday night. We have our support chat. We also have a Yahoo room, and also we have a Facebook page. So if you have adult children 18 years and older who need support, and believe me, they need more support than you may realize, I'm going to have a page going up on my website about that in the next 2 weeks that people can read about this and how serious a situation it is. Please let them know that there is help and support available. So now, without much further ado, I would like to introduce my very special return guest tonight. She's a big part of my Straight Wives Club, you know, network, and her name is Debbie Thomas Brown. Debbie, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie. It's good to be back with you again.
Well, don't thank me. Thank you for all the wonderful work that you're doing in South Florida and reaching out to straight wives all over, you know, from the islands on up, and our minority women, because I really do believe, Deb, that every situation's a little unique, and although we're all straight wives that are part of this network, you know, we have different issues with women who come from the religious communities, women who come from minority communities. We all have that same common bond, but how our cultures treat it may be somewhat different. So
that's
I think
correct.
That the more connections that women can make, you know, to groups that can relate to them, the better it is. And I'm so proud to have you as part of my network. You have your own show on this station, correct?
Yes. On Saturdays at noon, here on Blog Talk Radio at Straight Spouse Awareness. And on Thursday nights at 8, I broadcast here on your channels.
Mm-hmm. And so if you need information on that, or on Debbie's group, as we progress through this hour, we're going to be telling you more and more about it. So I met Debbie, I guess it's 2 years ago, right, Deb?
In person?
She walked in,
two years ago, just online.
You know, and that's when you kind of came into my life and made it so much better. Because, first of all, well, it's the truth. I mean, what is, you know, Debbie's a nurse. So she has a whole background in helping people in human services. She was in South Florida. She was reaching out and looking for some help and resources. And she hooked up with me, and she liked the way I think, because I tell it as it is. I'm not beating around any bushes with this.
Exactly.
And, you know, we became fast friends. And then, you know, Debbie had her own support group going on, South Florida Connects, because maybe you can tell people a little bit about your situation, Deb.
Yes, my situation is a little different from some of the women who I talk to, because I didn't marry my gay ex. I found out and I paid attention and I didn't go through with the wedding. And so in that sense, I feel so blessed that God spared me from, you know, from a marriage with someone who is, you know, who is gay, someone who has same-sex orientation and actively practicing it. So, you know, God has been good to me in that sense. And he's been using me to help other women who are in that situation, because he saved me from that bunny so that I could be of benefit to others. And I understood that I could not have been so effective if I didn't experience it myself. If I didn't understand it, I would not be able to understand the many women who talk to me on a daily basis. So
for you, it was almost like a calling, right?
Yes, that's what it is. It's my, right now, I consider it my life's work, even though I don't get it paid to do it. But it's such a blessing that, you know, when you can help people, you can help them to see a light at the end of the tunnel. It makes your life so much more, you know, so much better. And you keep talking about me helping you, Bonnie. I was online searching for help for myself, because I put up this website anonymously so that nobody would know that I was the one providing the information. But there was so much that I didn't know. I put up the website at southfloridaconnects.com after I accepted my situation and I realized what was going on and I got out of it and started my healing. I decided to make sure that I provide information for other women who were in that situation so they could understand what was happening in their lives. And I was hurting really badly, even though I was trying to help other people. Because, you know, like, I'm the one who, like, if I know about something, I share the information. So that's what I started doing. But I was hurting because I wasn't getting any help for me. I never met anybody else who could help me. So I was online searching for information to help myself, and that's how I found you. And you have been so instrumental in my healing journey, because I am one of those people who kind of don't reach out for too much support, but what I want from you, I get. And you give me so much without even realizing.
Oh, thanks,
and that has helped me to be so much more organized in how I help other people, because everybody needs something different. You rarely find two people who need the same kind of support. Because everybody's situation is different. And I learned from you how not... I'm basically behaving like the GPS man. I borrowed that from Grace. Gay, posing as straight. So whenever I refer to GPS, I'm referring to our gay men who are posing as straight. So, you know, just like how they compartmentalize their lives, I have learned how to compartmentalize my work with my straight spouses, because otherwise I'll be so burned out, I'll be of no use to anybody, even myself. So I have learned from you how to compartmentalize what I do so that everybody gets a little of what they need and I still get what I need for me, because I'm giving out, so I have to have my sources where I can get something to put back in me. And, you know, you continue to do that for me, because that newsletter that you send out the 15th of every month, Bunny, you don't understand how much I learn from those newsletters. I think a lot of women really do,
and I think it's a great way that we can connect. And in fact, you know, I have my new edition coming out either tomorrow or I'll send it out on Tuesday. And it's about a new epiphany I've had, but I won't talk about it till after this week so people can read about it. Because I think that sometimes we're so off target with the way we think, because living with a gay man confuses you so much, because you're running around, you know, trying to second guess everything you're doing because nothing's working. And
right.
I think that you have a unique situation, Deb, where the women you're helping have extra obstacles to overcome and climb over because of the fact of the cultural differences. Because
yeah.
you're not only working with women in the United States, you're also working with women who are in the islands, in Jamaica, and other islands.
India.
That
South
India.
Africa, all over the place. They write me from, Bonnie.
Right. Well, because
yes.
as a minority woman, you can make a different, you know, an extra connection.
Yeah.
And maybe you could talk a little bit about why it's different when you're a minority and the way the church is gearing towards people.
Let's start with my situation, because I am an immigrant woman. I'm a minority immigrant woman from the island of Jamaica. And all Caribbean women, we are all basically the same in our, like, in our cultural awareness, in our cultural upbringing, in our cultural outlook, in our religious upbringing, because we have some of the same religions that we practice. I'm Christian, and, you know, we have many Christians all over the Caribbean and in other countries in the world. Minority women, you know, we grew up with the religious background. Even if people are not very spiritual, they have this religious upbringing that teach you that you are supposed to be submissive to your husband. You are supposed to listen to what your pastor says. What you learn in church is right. Anything else you do besides what you learn from the Bible and from church and from your pastor or your religious leaders, you know, is wrong. So, and we grew up understanding and hearing that any man who has same-sex attraction, same-sex orientation, who practices homosexuality, is doomed to go to hell, and that because that's such a big sin. We grew up knowing that, and I believe what my Bible says, and there are certain things in the Bible that talks about homosexuality that I believe. So, you know, that was not something that I frowned upon. I just went along with it. But the thing that bothered me in our culture is how people who have same-sex orientation are treated, because I believe that because you have same-sex orientation, you should not be treated different from somebody who is an alcoholic or somebody who is a smoker or somebody who beats his wife. You know, because those were common things I saw around me when I was growing up. But we talk about everything else, but we never talked about the same-sex attraction in any formal communication. It was not something that was discussed in any formal way, you know, like in underhand ways and in whispers, but not in a formal discussion where anybody could learn anything from it, you know, in a constructive way. And so we never thought that in our culture, we don't believe that gay men would want to be with a woman. We never thought that. So if a gay man who's acting, even if he's acting feminine, wants to be with a woman, we would think he's just effeminate, he's not gay, because, you know, we wouldn't think a gay man would want to be with a straight woman. So that's how our culture, you know, we were raised in our culture. So when some of our women, including me, found out that we have men in our lives who are actually gay men pretending to be straight, it's because it has not been part of our awareness, we are totally, totally, you know, zoned out by it. And we are, it can make us very debilitated, because I am a strong person. I am a strong person. And my outlook is, like, I read a lot. So I know about a lot of stuff that's going on. But there are certain things that I never expected would come to my door because of how I live my life. And so when I found out that I was in love with a man who is gay, posing as straight, it really bothered me. And I would not talk about it with anyone because I was so embarrassed about it. And that is exactly how other women in my culture feel when they suspect that their man or their husband is having a same-sex relationship with another man, or they have gay tendencies. They don't want to talk about it with anyone because it's too embarrassing. And especially the professional woman, when they find out that they have a husband who is actually practicing same-sex orientation behaviors, it's very traumatic because it's like a personal failure of yours. You claim the situation like you are the one who caused it. Initially in my situation, I was wondering, what did I do to deserve this? I didn't believe I caused it, but I was wondering and questioning myself, what did I do to deserve it? So I had all those questions, and there are other women who question themselves to, what did I do wrong in my life that this happened to me? And there are others who believe that they did something in their relationship while their men turned gay. And I'm saying turned in quotation marks, because they believe that because they married them, when they married them, they were straight. So now they turned gay. So they blame themselves for turning them gay. A lot of women feel that way. And I sometimes have a hard time trying to let them understand. I don't try to convince anyone. I try to let them understand that he was gay before you married him. He just did not accept it yet. Or his awareness didn't come in because of the education that we have in our culture and the socialization that is so wrong and you're going to go to hell and all of that stuff, and people don't talk about it, and so people don't even want to accept it in themselves, so they don't focus on it, and they try to hide it with everything they can, or they try to marry somebody who they love to make it go away, because a lot of men in my culture, they don't want to be gay. They would want it to go away. If they could perform some magic trick and let it go away, that would be ideal for them. And so the wives, when they find out that their husbands or their living boyfriends are gay, many of them blame themselves for that, because the men have behaviors coming up to the disclosure or the discovery that, you know, you believe that there's something wrong with you. He don't want to be amorous with you. He don't want to love you. He don't want to kiss on you. He don't want to hug you. You can't sit and hold hands. There's no intimacy. There's no physical touching. There's nothing going on. And that was not what happened in the beginning, because in the beginning when he was trying to woo you, he was all over you. And now he does not want to touch you. He doesn't want to even look at you naked. So you believe now that something's wrong with you. You are doing something wrong. Why he changed? That's what a lot of women do. They own the blame. They claim it. And so I have to be, you know, telling them, it had nothing to do with you, because nothing you do could change him. Nothing you do could make him straight, because he was gay all along. He just didn't want to have those feelings. And he thought that some men, you know, they think that marrying you because they have this love feeling for you would make the gay feelings go away. And some of them are able to suppress it really well, Bonnie. Some of them suppress it for years and years and never touch anybody or never have anybody touch them. But like I was saying to someone yesterday, I had an interview with a woman who is doing her doctoral dissertation, and I was talking to her yesterday, and I was telling her that when a straight man gets up into middle age, they go through their midlife crisis. And what some of them usually do is they go out and get a younger girlfriend, because now the body is not working the way it used to work. They believe that it's because their wives are older and not as attractive and not as sexy and alluring as they used to be when they were younger. So they feel that is why their equipment doesn't work as well as it used to. So they go out and get a younger girl, thinking that that will rev up everything and make everything so much better. And that's a temporary fix, because everything is getting older. Their body is operating differently. And so until they learn to accept that fact, they will probably go from younger girlfriend to younger girlfriend thinking that, you know, that will help them temporarily. Or they might go get a expensive sports car. Whatever their crisis leads them to, they will do that. And I tell women that the men who are gay, they go through the same thing like the straight men. They go through the midlife crisis too. And sometimes a woman will be married to her husband since they were in their 20s. And she don't start getting any clues until he's in his 40s or 50s. That's when she starts to realize that something's really wrong, because that's when his body is not working like it used to. I was talking to one gay guy one day, and he said when he was in his 20s, he could get an erection from just looking at ketchup. Now he's in his 50s, it doesn't work like that anymore, so he can't fake it like he used to when he was younger. And that's what's happening to a lot of our men with same-sex attraction. And the women who are not aware of that, they blame themselves for the men losing sexual interest when it has nothing to do with them.
And well, on the other hand, Deb, on the other hand, you know, just to add to that, with women, it's going to happen a lot sooner usually than their midlife crisis. And
right.
That's the other problem, because this usually starts for men by the time they reach their late 20s, early 30s,
mm-hmm.
that they're no longer able to, for lack of a better word, perform with their wives in bed.
Right.
You know, you can only fantasize it out for so long, but when you look at it, you know it's not what you want.
Exactly.
And one of the things that, you know, I'm writing about for this next newsletter as part of my new epiphany, I'll just say this to you. You know, what women have to understand, and I think, you know, I like to try to put it in this context, when a man marries you, in almost all cases, I really do believe they love the women who they're marrying. The only problem is they love us like they would love a sister or they would love a cousin. They're not in love with us, they love us. And they're hoping that will go far enough or, you know, go along strongly enough that maybe those feelings can change. You know, they're not trying to trick us or deceive us. They're just trying to fool themselves and hope that if they marry someone who loves them enough, we can fix them. And I tell women that you can't personalize this, even though, you know, we do, and understandably so, because rejection is personal. But we can no longer get into bed with our brothers or our cousins and be comfortable with it, or, you know, sleep with our best girlfriends, which would be, like, horrible to us. And that's where you have to come from in your thinking when it comes to a gay husband.
Right.
It would be this, it's like an incestuous relationship for him, and it's as repulsive to him as it would be for us.
Yeah,
so,
like when a woman tells you she goes on her honeymoon and she spends all this money in these expensive looking sexy lingerie, and her husband tells her to take it off because it's disgusting.
Right.
You know, because that's just like, you're right, just like what you just said, your brother would not want to admire you in sexy lingerie. He'd probably tell her to leave the room and go change.
Exactly, and you wouldn't want to see him either that way.
Exactly.
You know, so it's a two-way street. I mean, we're straight, we think straight, they're gay, trying to be straight, but they're still gay. And that's why they can look it, they can walk it, they can talk it, but they're not it.
Yeah,
and that's
like
really the bottom line.
I was talking to a woman the other day, and she wanted me to give her some clues. So I was, like, using clues from her experience, not necessarily those I write about on the website. So I was
mm-hmm.
saying, what happens when you're in the shower and you get out of the shower naked? If your husband is in the bathroom, what does he do? She said he leaves very quickly. And I said,
mm-hmm.
see what I mean? I said, see
exactly.
what I mean? If you had a straight husband and you get out of that shower dripping wet, butt naked, you would probably be late for work or your appointment. He would not run out of the bathroom. He would stay there and probably bother you for sex.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to maybe make an arrangement for later so you can get out of there on time. A straight
mm-hmm.
man would never run when you get out naked. And she said, oh, I was never even thinking about that. How many times did he do that? He always leaves the bathroom when she gets out of the shower because, you know, they only have one bathroom. So sometimes she's in the shower and he's doing something, and as soon as she gets out, he leaves.
Debbie,
you know,
let me ask you this question. Do you think part of it is because of the way that, as minority island women, I'll use that term, that you grow up thinking that, you know, you don't talk much about sex, you know, that women are expected to be virgins until they get married, and so maybe it's a lack of knowledge? Is that a possibility of why women don't understand this?
Yes, sometimes it is just not knowing. It's not a part of your everyday experience. It's not a part of your everyday awareness. You don't hear the older folks talk about it, because there's a lot of things that when I was growing up, I hear older women or older girls talking about stuff, and when I go to join, to sit down, to listen, they send me away. So I can't hear about that. I can't learn about that from them, because I'm not supposed to hear it. So, yes, there are certain things that are never discussed, and the older women never tell you about it. So you never learn about it unless you read about it in books. And sometimes you read stuff in books, and if you don't have somebody to explain it for you, you may never get
it
either.
And I think also, you know, with the church and its strong influence where marriage is an expectation, and homosexuality is an absolute, you know, is out altogether. It's not even on the table. So that, you know, men are expected to marry whether they're gay or they're not.
Yes.
And so to stay part of a cultural norm that they do get married, even if they don't necessarily want to, and they try to find the woman, I think, who will best suit their personal needs and not be, you know, too sexually aggressive, pushy, someone he can control, and make her feel bad about herself if she's asking for something he doesn't want to give. And maybe because the church is so, you know, strong on marriage, that she just has to accept this and this is what her life is, because she doesn't understand it.
Yes, and some women feel like if they get married and something happens in the relationship, like domestic abuse comes in, or the husband is gay and actively sleeping with men, she feels like she can't get it. She can't get out because she gave her word. She's supposed to stay in the marriage for her the rest of her life. And I'm like, I don't feel like that. I don't believe that. I don't tell women that, but I don't tell them what to do. It's their personal choice. But I let them know what their options are and what each option will do for their life. And then they have to make that decision, because in the end, if they're going to leave their marriage and they don't have an income, I'm not going to be able to provide for them. So they have to decide what is best for them at the time when they want to do what they need to do. But I let them know the pros and the cons, because my job is to educate them. Because I find that to be the biggest obstacle in straight spouse awareness, the education. People don't know. And when people don't know stuff, they act stupid, Bonnie. I don't mean to call people stupid directly, but I mean people act stupid when they don't know stuff. And some of the things I hear people say, I know it's because they're ignorant of the information. So my job is to help them become more aware, to teach them what they don't know so they can make informed decisions. Because seriously, I would not live with a man who is gay. I would not marry a man who is gay and stay married to him if I found out. But there are some women who will. And I have to let them know what their options are and what might happen if they stay and what can happen if they leave. So they have an understanding of the choices that they have. So they decide on their own what is best for them, and if they have children, what is best for the children, because we have to consider the whole family, because this is not just about the gay spouse or the straight spouse, it's about the whole family.
Deb, while you're on the subject of the children, can I just bring something up for a minute that
sure.
I think is very telling? We have a member of our support network, her name is Isabel, and you know, she has a blog that if anybody would like to get a copy of it or get the link for it, just write to me at bonk@aol.com. And Isabel's in a unique situation because not only did she marry a gay man, who she's now separated from, but she also found out that her father was gay. And, you know, she's in like a double whammy. She's so devastated. But she has this she has this wonderful blog where, you know, she's vending out a lot of her feelings. But she wrote something and sent it to me today when I was reading it. It really hit home. I asked her if I could use it, you know, in my own newsletter for next month. But she's talking about when women are married to gay men and they stay together for the sake of the children. And she wrote, "I'm telling you, my mother did not do me a favor by staying married. She taught me to give up. She taught me she wasn't worth it. She taught me that men are lying, cheating, a-holes, that she is supposed to be tolerant of that. And if she ever mentions it was for me, I will say, do not blame me for staying married because I never wanted her to do that. I can recall that for the past 20 years I have advocated she divorce my dad. I was 20 when I started to openly say that, but I was 10 when I knew they were unhappy. Do you know how painful it is as a daughter to know in your heart that your own father doesn't love your mother? I came out of that union. It wasn't a union made out of love. That will forever haunt me. So if you can say no to any of my questions, save the children, save yourself, and run. The world
that
is desperately in need of free streets." Huh?
That is powerful, and that is so true,
isn't
Bonnie.
It?
She hit the nail right on the head, yes. Because sometimes people are living in denial. The woman might know her husband is gay. She feel
mm-hmm.
it in her belly. She feel it in her stomach. She feel it all over her body. She's been seeing the clues for years, and she's afraid to call it what it is. But the children, they know. But they won't say anything because that's mommy's husband. They won't do anything because that's daddy. And they are there watching the situation like they are looking at it from a distance, wondering when mom is going to wake up. But
well, I think
mommy
so
never
true.
Seemed to wake up.
But I think
and that affects
really,
the kids.
I think what really hit me the most is that when she said this one line, she taught me to give up, and she taught me, well, these two lines, and she taught me she wasn't worth it. And I think that's the whole thing. When, you know, we are who we come from. We role model our lives after our parents. And if we see that it's okay for our mothers to stay in relationships that are unfulfilling, where they're crying, where they're upset, where they feel worthless, then we are going to think this is what the expected behavior is supposed to be. And then we're going to marry someone who's also worthless or wrong for us, not necessarily gay, but someone who's, you know, a predator, as I like to call them, someone who can control you and, you know, decides on what's best for you. And we think, well, we just have to accept it because that's the way our moms were. So you're right. I mean, it's just such bad role modeling, and that's what it's all about. I think that children will have an easier time coming from a broken family than living in a broken family.
Exactly.
As Dr. Phil likes to say, right?
Exactly, exactly, Bonnie. And children are so smart these days,
mm-hmm.
especially with the computer. They're so computer savvy. They're tech savvy. And what I noticed from the women who I talked to, the men are making sure that they become very tech savvy so they can use all the gadgets and all the apps and everything so they can reach their boyfriends or their anonymous hookups whenever they want to. And some of the women are telling me, oh, I don't touch that thing. And I said, do you know how to use a computer? Oh, I don't touch that thing. And I'm thinking, it's not going to bite you. You need to learn how to use a computer just like your husband or your boyfriend is learning how to use a computer. If you don't know how to use a computer, how are you going to know what he's up to when he's on the computer? You won't have a clue because when you walk by him, he hides the screen and you don't have a clue that he hit the screen. You have to become aware of what's going on in your house. Like I was telling women that I became Miss FBI when I found out my ex was gay and actively pursuing sexual activities with other men. I became
uh-huh.
Miss FBI. And I am not naturally a snoop, and I am not naturally jealous, and I am definitely not insecure, but I wanted to see what was going on. I know what he was doing, but I wanted to see how he was doing it and what
mm-hmm.
he was doing when he did it and who he was doing it with. I wanted to know. So I became his FBI and found out all of that stuff, and it helped to convince me more that I need to just step and let him go. But some women, they're even afraid to find out, Bonnie. And I'm thinking, what you don't know, they usually say what you don't know won't hurt you. But I'm telling women, what you don't know can definitely kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because our immigrant women are in, some of them are in such a situation where they can't even ask their husbands or their boyfriends to use a condom, Bonnie. Even if they know that they have a girlfriend that lives just down the street, they cannot tell them to wear a condom because they will beat them. So a lot of women, a lot of our immigrant women are turning up positive with HIV, and sometimes they don't find out until they get pregnant and go for their prenatal checkups. That's
mm-hmm.
when they know they have HIV, because they are afraid to ask the men who they know are cheating to wear a condom. You know your husband might be having same-sex relationships with other men. Why on earth would you not insist that he wear a condom if you are allowing him to touch you sexually?
I'll tell
they
you
can't.
Why.
Some of them can't.
You know why, Deb? Because of the fact, and I've had so many women tell me this when I ask them the same question you're asking, and here's what their answer is. I don't want him to think that I don't trust him. They are so worried that their husbands are going to be angry at them because they don't trust them. I mean, that to me is the most ridiculous statement that a woman can make for me. When she knows that he's cheating, why should she trust him? If she knows she can't trust him, why isn't she protecting herself instead of worrying that he's going to be mad at her or love her less? Am I right?
But, Bonnie, I know to me and you that is stupid, but the reality for many women is if they ask their men to do that, they definitely say tell them that they don't trust them and they beat them up for disrespecting them by not trusting them. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? And so that a lot of women are afraid to even ask them to do it. So what I found out is that some women are more afraid of being beaten up and losing financial support and being kicked out of the house than they are of catching HIV/AIDS.
Yeah, and you know what? I can't say that I blame any woman for being afraid because of the fact that when you're living in a domestic violence situation and where you're either being emotionally beaten down, physically beaten down, controlled, living with someone who's alienating you from everybody and isolating you so you'll have no support system at all, it's really easy to live in a state of fear and that anything is better than what's worse.
Exactly.
So they think.
Yeah, that is the reality for many of our minority immigrant women. That's their
mm-hmm.
that's the reality for so many of them, because some of them they come here and they're isolated. They're isolated now. They don't have family and friends here. Some of them don't. And then
mm-hmm.
they're isolated, so they are not allowed to go out to make new friends. Some of them are accustomed to going to church, and that's all they're allowed to do. And some of them are not even allowed to work outside of home, Bonnie. So it's so
mm-hmm.
hard for them to develop a network of friends. I talk to women who tell me that the only way they were able to learn English was by watching soap operas and TV when their husband wasn't home, because they were
mm-hmm.
not allowed to go to learn English because he figured out he could isolate them by not having them speak English. So they learn English. One woman told me she learned English, and he didn't know she knew English until she was getting a divorce from him. That's when he realized she knew English, because she hid
wow.
it from him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and our immigrant woman, one of the sad statistics, especially in my island country, Jamaica, one in three young women from the age of like 13 to 24, one in three of them are HIV positive, Bonnie. One in
three. Wow.
HIV positive.
That is amazing.
That's what's going on because this is another thing that's affecting our immigrant women, even here in the United States, because the men have this myth that if they have a sexually transmitted disease and they have sexual relations with a virgin, it will cure them. So many men who have all of those sexually transmitted diseases, even HIV, still believe that they can bypass going to the doctor and taking all those medications. They can take their herbal medicine and their voodoo medications, and they can have sex with a virgin. So they will mess up your young daughter having intercourse with her you know, and giving her a sexually transmitted disease. So that's why so many of the teenagers end up having HIV. And more girls than boys have the disease. More young girls than boys. Because the older men are messing with the younger girls. Because they think they can get cured like that. So that's another thing.
I've never heard
cultural
that,
thing.
Can you mention that again?
In other words,
they think that if they have sex with a virgin...
Yes, in my culture and in African cultures too. That's why so many of the young African girls end up having HIV. The men, this is a cultural thing now. It's not a factual thing. It's a cultural myth that they believe that if they have a sexually transmitted disease and they have sexual intercourse with a virgin, not somebody who has already had sex with somebody else, a virgin, it will cure them. So they will seek out your young daughter who has not been touched and have sexual intercourse with her, whichever way. Sometimes they rape them because girls won't agree. They will rape them, or some of them will take money because they come from poor families. They will take money and things and develop a relationship with an older man who they think care for them when he's just trying to use that cultural myth to get his disease cured, when all he does, he end up getting her infected or getting her pregnant. So that is what happens in my country and a lot of other third world countries, because men still have that erroneous belief.
And Debbie, let me ask you this question. You are so outspoken and passionate about this cause. How are you received in your own community? Because I know that I listened to a program that you were on, and I love the program. You were so excellent on this program. And it was a program, I think, based on the church. And, you know, you were speaking about the cause of straight women and gay men. And you were so articulate with it. And I thought you were wonderful. But how does the, you know, minority population receive this? Are they for you or against it?
I'm going to say this again. Not knowing... it's such a big deal because people are afraid of what they do not know. They're afraid to accept what they do not understand. And straight spouse awareness is it's not a new thing, but it has not been something that was open to my Jamaican countrymen. They did not know that there was anything available. And some of them did not even know what was happening to them. They could not identify it. So now that there is somebody who is able to identify it, able to put a name to it, able to tell them what to look for, there are those who think that I have ulterior motives. Some people believe I'm furthering the gay agenda, and some people believe that I am just trying to build a harem of lesbians for myself. On a serious note, a lot of people believe that.
Wow.
So, you know, but the thing is, I understand ignorance. I grew up with it around me. I understand it, and I know how to get around it. I'm not going to go through it. I'm just going to go around it, Bonnie, because there are people who want information and are reaching out. So I make myself available so that they can get what they need, because not everybody will accept the information. But there are those who really desperately need it and will seek it, so you make it be available for them.
But are you ever feeling threatened by your community at all?
Yes, I have, because during the month of March, I wrote a letter to the Jamaican Gleaner, one of the nation's leading newspapers. And they made it the letter of the day, and it got a lot of comments, and I got a lot of emails from people, and some of them were very ignorant, and some of them were very supportive, and they want me. I have this connection at the University of the West Indies, and they wanted me to come to Jamaica to do some workshops, because straight spouses on the island need support, because they don't have anything like that down there, like what I'm doing here in South Florida. They don't have it down there, and they wanted me to come down there and start something, do a workshop, you know. And My thing was I would go down and do a workshop, but I would want to teach the mental health professionals, the medical professionals, the educators. I would want them first to become knowledgeable about how to handle a stray spouse issue, because when the stray spouses understand their situation and know that they can reach out for help and who to reach out to for help, and they go to those people are need to be in a position to help them. And right now, they are not ready to help them in that yet because they don't even understand it themselves. So my job was to go down and do the seminars to teach them. But I don't want to go because I feel like my life could be at risk because people don't understand what I'm really trying to do. They totally misunderstand everything. And I'm talking about a few people. And if you have a few who misunderstand and are misguided, they can cause a whole problem for everybody else who understands and wants it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Exactly. It doesn't take a majority to be against you, just
exactly.
A few troublemakers.
Exactly.
Who spread, you know, words of where they're putting you down and questioning your motivation and questioning why you're doing this. And that's just to cover themselves up, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But, Debbie,
so,
I need to ask you a few more questions, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
First, you know, I know that you have a very strong religious beliefs and you're very strong, you know, church, you know, based. But how do you... You know, like when women come to you and they say, if we pray on this, we know we can, you know, have our husbands, those feelings will fade away. Is that true or no?
Bunny, why do you think you and I get along so well?
Because we know you can't pray away the gay?
I am not, okay, there are some people who you have to handle them with kid gloves because they're so fragile. If you say the
uh-huh.
wrong thing to them, they will go home and kill themselves. So you have to be careful. So some people, I sugarcoat it. For others, I dip it in honey. And for others, I serve it straight up bland, just the way
uh-huh.
it is. Because you have to understand this. People have their different views and their different ideas. And one of my job as an educator, a straight spouse educator, is to debunk some of those myths. And one of the
mm-hmm.
greatest myths of all is that you can pray the gay away. And you cannot pray the gay away. People can change their behavior. People can modify their behavior. But the feelings will never go away. It's going to be something that they're going to struggle with for the rest of their life. But they can modify their behavior and not have sex with men. But that doesn't mean they don't feel the urge to do it.
And it also doesn't mean they're going to have sex with you.
Exactly.
So a
exactly.
lot of times, you know, when men say, well, I can be celibate, they mean all the way because, you know, maybe they can withhold having sex with men, but they're gay and they don't want to have sex with you.
Yeah,
and
that's why there are so many asexual marriages, Bunny. Nothing
right,
going
exactly.
on.
Exactly. But a lot of times there's stuff going on, but you don't know about him because he's still cheating on you.
It's not happening with you and him. It's not happening
exactly.
with you and him.
Exactly. That's not happening. Exactly.
You know?
And
that
I think
one
that, you know, it's really cheating women out of what's rightfully theirs. And
yes.
I think you need to realize that when you're born into this world, I mean, even if you're religious or not religious, you know, women are born as women, and sexuality with someone who's your mate in life is part of the normal way of living.
Exactly.
I'm not saying you have to be out there being, you know, promiscuous, but when you're married, that's an expectation. And I know that all religions are different, trust me. But I know even, you know, with being Jewish, that, you know, which I am, that in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it even says that, you know, it's a blessing when a man, you know, when a husband and wife, you know, have an intimate relationship. And it's, in fact, if you do it on a Friday night, it's considered a special blessing. Because sexuality, well, that's the way it is. It's called a mitzvah.
There is so many books in the Bible that are dedicated to just love between a man and his wife. Love, love, love in so many different ways. Why do you think God have all of that there for us? Because it's supposed to happen between a man and his wife. And when it's not happening,
exactly.
that is abnormal. That is against God's plan.
So when, you know, women tell you, well, my husband doesn't want to have sex with me, and no matter what I do to please him, nothing works, then you have to really question it. Because
yes.
this is not normal behavior.
Yes.
And I know that there are things that create problems in, you know, sexual relationships. But the difference between a straight man and a gay man is this. You know, if you're having problems with your husband and he doesn't want to make love with you and he's telling you he's depressed, he's sick, he's this, he's that, I believe every man goes through some cycles in life. You know, pressure's good and bad at work, financial strain, you know, the kids. But that's a temporary problem. As soon
exactly.
as, you know, these problems resolve, then you're back where you need to be. When you're married to a gay man, you're never going to get there. You were never there to start with, but you're never going to get there. No matter what you do, it's just going to continually decline. And that's why when women come to me in their 30s and they say, well, we haven't had sex in years, or even when, you know, we had Carrie Blakely on the show who wrote Can't Think Straight. And here she is. Carrie's a beautiful young woman. You know, I met her in New York. And, you know, she's just gorgeous. And she was in her 30s and hadn't had sex in years. And I'm thinking, do you really think this is what's normal? But, you know, some women just learn to accept that their boyfriends or husbands or fiancés, you know, they're just not going to do it. And they come to just become complacent because they're afraid to think otherwise.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand why so many women would read a book. And the sexual scenes, they believe it to be normal. And they watch soap operas and the sexual scenes, they believe it to be normal. But what is going on in their bedrooms? Nothing. They consider that normal. I'm like, I ask a lot of questions because the teacher is still in me. And so I ask a lot of questions because that's the way sometimes I get to understand exactly what people need, where they're at in their thinking, by asking questions. And sometimes I ask questions and the answers that I get, I'm like, I'm shocked, but I can't let people see that I'm really shocked because I expect so much different from, you know, from what I'm seeing, you know, and what different from what I'm hearing, you know. So people just need information. People need, you know, information to develop their awareness. And what I realize is that the more aware people become, the more understanding they are of their situations. And I also noticed that even among my Caribbean people, my Jamaican people, the more aware they become, the less homophobic they are, Bonnie, because my countrymen are a naturally homophobic generation, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I realize that the more aware they become, the less homophobic and the less bigoted they are, because I have seen conversations that I've had with some people change drastically. And I'm like, oh, thank God they're getting it. You know?
Are the attitudes changing in Jamaica and the islands as far as homosexuality?
Somewhat, because the age of technology has allowed them to see what's happening in here in the USA and other parts of the world. And then some people on the island realize that they're kind of backward in their thinking. Because even though we are country based on biblical principles, because my country has more churches per square mile than any other country in the world. And we are Christians, predominantly Christians. So The thinking has kind of mellowed out a little. It's not as radical as it used to be, because so many gay men are not being killed like before. Because it doesn't matter whether you are rich or poor, you get your head cut off, you know. But it's not as prevalent as it used to be, and more and more men are open with their sexuality now than they used to be, but there's still a great majority of them who are in relationships with straight women. Like, my country has maybe like 2% of the population, which is 2.8 million, are gay, and half of those men are in relationship with straight women, and more than three quarters of them already fathered a child. Because that is one of the symbols of being straight. You'll be able to get a woman pregnant and have a couple of children. So you get one pregnant over here, and you go next to another parish, you get a couple more, and that's, you know, show that you're a macho, you're a man. And that's another way some men hide the gayness, by getting women pregnant. Just to
exactly.
say they're father, so they got to be men. You know, they're male, they're not gay.
Right,
you know,
we were just having that conversation in our chat room the other day, that the reason why many of them want to go into, you know, having children is because then they can hide behind it.
Yeah.
And they can say, what do you mean I'm gay? How could I be gay? You know,
yeah.
I have a wife and children, or I have an ex-wife
yeah.
and children.
Yeah.
And,
that,
you know, I know that a lot of them use that because I know my ex-husband used to use it, too.
Yeah, and some of the professional men, they would never, ever get married. They would be in a relationship with a woman for years, 15, 20 years in my country, and they would never get married. Because they know that they're gay. So they don't feel the need to marry a woman, but they will have her living with them to show the world that they have a woman. And then they will have a few kids, too, to show the world, oh, yeah, a man. So, you know, but they would never, ever marry a woman. And inside of the family, inside of the house, the relationship is so rotten. It's so, you wonder why the woman even stay and take stuff like that. But this is not just happening here in the USA. It's happening all over the world. A lot of, even in India, women are treated like that in India, and they can't speak up.
Terrible.
Because if they speak up, their in-laws will make sure they get beat, you know, get a beating. Yeah,
well,
so,
and also in a lot of the Muslim countries, I have a lot of
yeah.
women who are from the Middle East who are going through this, or China. You know, a lot of places where culturally it's just not allowable. And
yeah.
in many cases, if your husband's gay, then it's your fault. You know, you're blamed
yeah.
as the wife, but why couldn't you be a better wife so that he wouldn't want to do this?
In India and in the Muslim countries, they will blame the woman. If the husband is gay, they'll blame the woman.
Uh-huh.
And you know what the trend is? You know what the trend is now in China, where being married is a cultural thing. It's expected of you to be married and produce an heir.
Uh-huh.
The gay men and the lesbian women are forming alliances where they marry
uh-huh.
each other. They
yes,
maintain
they do.
Separate they maintain separate homes, or they may live together.
Uh-huh.
But the man has his separate place where he can go be with whoever, and the woman have her separate place, and they, you know, especially the professionals, they get married so they can
uh-huh.
fool their parents. So when the parents are coming over, they come and they see them together as a unit, and they will have a child, and to just appease the family. That's happening a lot in China. The gay men are marrying the lesbian woman, and that is their arrangement. Everybody understands that is how it goes, because like 20 million, maybe about 20 million women in China have men who are gay, have husbands who are gay, Bonnie. And that, you know, that is such a debilitating situation for some of those women, because I'm not talking about bisexual men who will touch their wives sometimes. I'm talking about gay men who have no use for a woman.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of the Chinese women who are in that situation, they're having women are committing suicide in such large numbers all over the world, Bonnie.
Yes,
I
have a lot of Asian women I'm working with.
Yeah, because of the shame.
Because of the shame, and some of them just feel they have to accept this fate because the families will never understand it. You know, they'll be stigmatized in their culture and they won't be able to get married again. You know, a lot of times in these countries, Deb, I'm sure you learned about this, when you have a gay husband, if you, you know, leave for that reason, even if your family will support you, your chances of getting married again are virtually none.
Nobody will touch you.
You're like the damaged goods.
Exactly. Nobody will touch you.
They don't want to be bothered with you. They'll think that you had something to do to make him gay. He wasn't gay when he married you. How can you explain that he's gay if he married you? You know, it's really
that
so
is,
sad.
That is where the education comes in, because in my culture, too, people are like, oh, please, he married you, so he couldn't have been gay. Oh, what did you do to change him? What did you do
exactly.
to make him turn gay? I mean, come on, don't do that to people. Don't do that. He was gay before he met you. There's nothing you could have done to change it, and there's nothing you can do to fix it. So even though we want to claim stuff, because as women, we like to fix things. We like to fix what's broken. And we are good at trying to fix broken relationships. But when the man is gay, there is nothing a woman can do. You can't be beautiful enough. You can't be sexy enough. You can't be smart enough. Nothing works because you are the wrong sex. I tell women that all the time. You can't do anything. You're gonna go on your head and whatever. All the tricks you're going to do don't mean anything because you are not a man. You are not a man.
And I feel so bad for women, and, you know, speak explicitly, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, that are willing to try anything sexually that goes against every bone in their body, but they feel they have to do it to make their husbands happy. So they'll agree to all kinds of sexual arrangements, you know, and things that are against their nature. And I'm not even going to get sexually into it. But I think to myself, when you have to do all of this to have your husband want to be with you, that should be your first clue that there's a problem. You know,
yeah.
You never have to compromise your sexual values because your husband doesn't think that you're interesting enough to be with in bed, that, you know, you're trying to please him enough. You know, so when you have to start giving up who you are to make yourself into somebody you're not just to please a man, then you have a problem.
Exactly.
And that's what I think that women have to understand.
Yeah, if it feels wrong,
it
that means
wrong.
Something's wrong with it. And you know, sometimes people will hide stuff that they like. They will hide their fantasies and they will suppress their urges until after you're married to them. But they will share it with you. And then you both can agree if you want to try something. But when you are being forced, when you are being coerced into doing something just to satisfy somebody else, that's not okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's not okay because a marriage is between two people. And you are supposed to love each other. You're supposed to satisfy each other. And I have a problem, Bonnie, with women who go into these contracts with their gay husbands. He can go out Saturday nights, and he can go out whichever night, two nights a week, he can go out and be with his lover.
Right, as long as he comes home to you the other 5 nights.
And then what happened to you? Because when he home the other 5 nights, he have nothing to do with you. What about your needs? I'm not telling women to go and cheat because that's wrong because you're married. But why are you going to stay in a relationship like that? Might as well you get a divorce and go get somebody else.
Exactly.
You know,
so, Deb, we're going to have to wrap up, and that means that I'm going to have to ask you, beg, borrow, or steal you again in a couple months so we can continue this interesting conversation with you. It's always so stimulating and bringing such awareness, not only to minority women, but to all women. And, you know, you talked a little bit earlier about becoming a detective, you know, when you were always searching. And I do want to mention that on our show next week, we're very happy to have back a very wonderful man who was really willing to share with us. His name is Mike from LinkedIn Investigations in California. And he's a private eye, and he gave our women some really good advice and some tips. And he's coming back next week to talk about financial and forensic types of investigations for your money.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so many of these men, they hide the money, and his investigation firm goes and finds it.
Okay.
So that really can make a whole difference in the divorce proceedings.
Yes.
So Mike from LinkedIn Investigation will be with us next Sunday night. And Deb, like I say, I really thank you so much for all that you keep doing. And I'm so happy that you're part of my network. If women would like to know more about you, let's give them the website for SF Connects.
The website is at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com. And we have a hotline, 954-983-9751. And if people want to reach me directly by email, they can email me at sfconnects@gmail.com, or you can always go to Bonnie and she will forward your email to me because she has been doing that.
And if not
and
that,
Bonnie,
then Debbie's on my website. You can go right to gayhusbands.com and over to the right where the links are. you'll see Debbie's site there, or, you know, Debbie's link to help for minority women, for women in the church.
Bonnie,
so they
can such a pleasure. It's
yeah,
such a pleasure
same here,
working
Deb.
With
I really
you.
Miss you and I love you.
I'm counting the months
till I get to see you.
I might see you in September. You never know, Bonnie. I don't work on weekends anymore now, you know, so I don't have to take time off from work to do anything anymore.
Well, that sounds really great to me. It's going to be
a hot weekend
here.
I'm thinking about it, but I don't know. Hot, not cold. I don't like cold.
No, it's going to be hot in many ways this weekend. It'll be, like I say, we're having some of our wonderful Houston women coming here that you know, and you'll be meeting some of the other women that you met, who, you know, from all over. So think about it, Deb. I'd love to have you come.
And Bunny, just for anybody who's listening now, who might be sitting on the fence, or anybody who might listen to this round recording later in the archive, You going to one of the retreats, the weekend retreats, is such a healing experience, because No matter how you're feeling, no matter where you are at in your healing journey, you can always benefit from one of those healing retreats. And I would encourage anybody to make the investment in themselves to get to any one of your healing retreats, or go to all of them if you can. Because,
right, because
that,
you know, you're always
at
different phases. You're always at different phases of your recovery. And this is a long process. You know, we brought this up last week with Francine Barbetta. You know, I tell women that this is not going to be over in a year. This is going to be for many years to come. The road to recovery is a long and heavy road, so you have to look for any ways you can to lighten it up and find the support you need to move ahead, because it's almost, I think, impossible to do it on your own. You know, you'll keep falling and never, you know, heal correctly. So Just having connections, whether it's listening to your show, my show, our support chat room, the newsletter, you know, we have Pain Pals for people who want to one-on-one be with other women, to give them that support along the way. Now, try to provide as much support as possible, because I know that doing it alone will take you triple the time, and you don't ever have to feel like you're alone. So thank you, Deb, for the endorsement for the healing weekends, and if I don't get to see you here, then I'll plan on seeing you in Houston.
Bonnie, thank you so much for what you're doing in my life. Thank you so much for providing sometimes you just want to just rejuvenate yourself, and sometimes I go to your website and I see something that I never read before.
Yeah, well, thank you, Deb. I appreciate the endorsement.
All right,
gayhusbands.com.
I dig up your old newsletters, and I find something in there that just, you know, just, oh yes, I didn't even think of that, you know.
Yeah, so, there's always so much to think of with this. My God, who could have believed it, right?
You know,
I always say
that
this is my starting, like, I'm in my, like, 12th year of doing the newsletters every month, and you always think I'm going to run out of something to say, and there's always something more to say.
Oh, but this never gets stale. This never gets stale at all, because every time you talk to a different woman there, it's something new you're learning.
And that's why if I have to thank my gay husband, I've told him it before many times, my ex-husband who's gay. I thank him very many times, you know, for marrying me, because of the fact that it gave me a mission just like it gave you, that I'd be able to reach out and bring light to women who are living in this cloud of darkness, because there's so little help that makes it so clear.
Bunny,
so I always tell him he did a good deed.
You know, I sent an email to mine, too, and I said, thank you on behalf of all these women who are suffering all over the world, because you brought my awareness so that I am in a position that I'm able to help them. So I'm thanking you on their behalf.
Yep, that's what I tell mine too. But anyway, Deb, know that I love you, and I hope to see you whenever you can.
Have a wonderful evening, Bunny. And this
thank
you.
And
special
to
treat
our
talking
listeners,
with you tonight.
To our listeners, we love all of you. And I'll be back here next Sunday night with Mike from LinkedIn Investigations. All right, good night, Deb.
Good night, Bonnie. Good night, listeners.
Bye-bye, everyone.